Good morning, Texas. A special good morning to Dallas and Fort Worth, and of course, the website family. And if we have any visitors this morning, this is Mike Paulson talking to you from North Dakota, almost live, about a 6-hour difference is all. We are going to be, as always, talking about the goodness of God. Not the severity of God that you hear from the preachers and the teachers and the Sunday schools and the pulpits of America today, but the goodness of God. Bible says now that it's the goodness of God that bringeth people to repentance. It's the goodness of God that people would turn to the risen Savior. I've always said, people that believe that Jesus Christ has died, buried, and rose again, for some reason, they don't want to hear what he taught after he rose again. And folks, that's the bottom line. Jesus died. Everybody believes that. And he rose again. And a lot of people do believe that. And he was the Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. They have no problem with that. But for some reason, they just don't think he has anything to say when he rose again. They think that he's still talking to them with his modern theology, and he's got his love for everybody, love for everything, and all goes well because God hasn't stopped anybody. God hasn't chastised anybody. God hasn't punished you for anything that you've been doing wrong, so you figure, well, you must be doing okay. Then you've got the preachers out there that are blaming the things that are happening to you in your life. They're blaming them on you and the sin that you have harbored in your heart and that you haven't confessed. And if you don't do that pretty soon, people do realize that there's things going wrong in this country. So if you don't get confessed up pretty soon, you may just find yourself in the tribulation. That's what we're hearing from the pulpits today. Music has changed. The preaching has changed. The standards have changed. The pleasing God concept. They think that everything they do just pleases God. Now, I'm here to change that for you. We're looking at a King James Bible, not one of the, or two of the, or three of the, or of the 300 to 400 different Bibles that are out there. We're looking at a King James Bible. It's been around since 1611. Man has tried everything he can. He tried to get rid of it back in the Middle Ages, otherwise truthfully known as the Dark Ages, and that didn't work. So no man is trying to just take away people's Bibles by giving them a substitute. And after a while, letting them think that even that's not really the Word of God. So now we have a Christianity based on feelings and physical pleasing and preachers and their unction and anointing. It's a mess, folks, and you know it is. So anyway, we are going through different things in the tribulation. We're going to a King James Bible. We're looking at the tribulation books. That's Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. And we're looking at the teachings that will be taught during the tribulation. We're finding out, if you've been listening at all, that these things are already being taught today. We got a problem. These things that are being taught today are supposed to be taught to Jews, not to Gentiles. The things that are supposed to be taught to the Gentiles are taught by the risen Savior to Paul in the King James Bible, rightly divided, of course. And I tell you, I hear from folks that they get angry, they get hostile when you tell them stuff like this. It's an amazing thing. So we're going to go through, we've got 32 things, and we have covered about 24 of them. Now, just in case we have any visitors out there, and this is your first program, and you were told by your friend that, listen, you need to listen to this guy. This guy's a nutcase from North Dakota. The freezing temperatures up there has affected this guy's brain. You need to listen to this guy. You'll hear some amazing, funny things. Well, you know what? I'm glad you're listening, but they are amazing, but they're not funny. They're real. I'm teaching you what will be taught during the tribulation according to the truth. Now, it's being taught today, and it shouldn't be. So, if you like these things that are being taught in your churches today and from your pastors in the pulpits, then you will apparently be a real happy person in the tribulation because this will be the doctrine that will be taught during the tribulation. Unfortunately, according to Peter, when the tribulation comes, they'll be trying to teach Paul, and there'll be one dispensation off. Let's do a review in case we do have some new listeners out there, and here's what we've talked about in the last two programs. You will have an opportunity to see some wild and wacky weather, and especially happenings from space. You will be able to have some serious worship services finally on your own. You will have an opportunity to, again, to tell people to be baptized, water baptized with a good conscience toward God. You will have those opportunities to follow in Jesus' footsteps as you try to imitate him and his walk. You will be able to pick up from all different choices whatever it is that you want your ears to be tickled with. You will finally be able to boss your wives around, men. You ought to like that one. They won't be able to divorce you, because then it will be wrong to divorce. And for you nice people out there, charity will rule. You'll have opportunities to speak evil of truth. At King James Bible, you can speak evil of that thing. It's just an amazing thing. Your days will be shorter. The Jews will have opportunity to serve God again instead of having to look to the Gentiles. Not that the Gentiles today have anything that the Jews to look forward to, but they're teaching anyway today. You'll have an opportunity to pick your own Christ, but because there will be many different Christs during that tribulation. You'll even have, this is exciting, you'll have an opportunity to meet Moses and Elijah. You can continue using that born-again phrase, because that'll be a hot item, hot phrase. And here's one, you won't have to answer the door to these other religions and persuasions that come knocking on your door that irritate you. During the tribulation, you don't dare invite them in, or you'll be partakers of their evil deeds. How's that one for a thought? You will finally be able to have that opportunity to receive that inner understanding. You'll be able to understand the anointing. You'll have that unction, because, see, you'll know everything. That's what's going on here. You'll have the opportunity to be holy again. You'll have opportunities for better prayer life, because what you ask for, you should receive. You won't be hearing from these King James Bible people anymore, such as moi, because the King James Bible will be in a famine status. If you do have one of those King James Bibles, it'll be a rare find, I'll tell you. You better start looking to Hebrews and Jude, because that's where the truth will be. But I can just about guarantee you that you'll be listening to pastors that'll be teaching you about Paul. They'll be helping you worship that image and that beast, and you'll have that sign, that signet, like the Message Bible calls it, but you'll have that mark that you are a Christian. That's in Revelation, yes, but folks, that's also in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 13, in the NIV Bible. That tells you to take the mark of being a Christian. So you'll be able to walk around, you'll have that mark, you'll be proud of it, and you'll be showing people, see, I've got this mark that shows that I'm a Christian. You'll be so proud of yourself. You'll feel loved again by God, because you'll be back to being chastised. God's going to try to chastise you to get you back on that right walk, and you'll know if you're loved by God or not. This morning, we're going to go to number 24. We'll see if we can get them all done here this morning. We've got to get up to number 32 to cover all the ones I have. So let's get started. These are the new ones now. Here we go. Number 24, if you're taking notes and you're studying them and you're just looking forward to the tribulation, you're all ready for it, you already understand these things, you're doing these things already in your church, you're just getting ready. You'll be so excited when that Antichrist comes down in Revelation chapter 6. Yeah, because that's what it says. You're not looking for Jesus to come down in Revelation 19. You're being pumped up and fit for the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 6. Check it out. Read it up. Anyway, number 24. You will have many opportunities to really feel better about yourself, because you'll be able to confess your sins. And you'll be able to continue to do so as you stumble along the way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you'll have a great time in confession. Well, your church doesn't teach confession. Well, it will during the tribulation. 1 John 1:9. Listen, folks, your church already teaches confessions. It just doesn't say you have to go into a little box and confess to a priest. But your pastors, I pretty much tell you right now, your pastor tells you part of the problems you're having in life is because you haven't confessed all your sin. But see, that 1 John 1:9, that's a tribulation book. Paul doesn't tell us that. Anyway, let's not get into the sermon. Let's just keep showing you the joyful things here. Number 25, you'll be able to count on visions and dreams being from God. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, there's a clue, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Boy, won't that be exciting. Man, the Pentecostals will be having a great time with all that stuff. And you Baptists, you'll be doing the same thing. Methodists, you're all going to be doing the same thing. This is exciting stuff for you. Revelation 13 tells me you won't have to worry about your loved ones or your animals ever being lost and to be hard to find. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy, sell, or save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, and the number of his name. So yes, you guys, you can take the mark. Not only can you tell people, you can show people you're a Christian, and you can even find your lost dog, because they'll have the mark as well. How do you know that? They're already doing that. They're already doing that. So this whole mark thing is just going to flow right into acceptance. And like I say, the Christian's Bibles today, the NIV, the Message Bible, all these Bibles tell you to take that mark in Ephesians 1:13. Now, if you're truly listening to me this morning, maybe all the people in Dallas and Fort Worth shut down this radio station during this program so they don't have to hear this stuff. But if you're listening to me this morning, does that not stir your socks just a little bit? In a modern Bible, it tells you to take the mark of being a Christian. Doesn't that stir you a little bit to investigate and see what I'm talking about? You folks, you've got till December 23rd to hear about this stuff, and from that day on, you're going to be on your own. That's just the way it's going to be here. So you better listen up, and I suggest that you get into your King James Bible. Don't go to your pastor, because he's going to tell you, listen, there's no such thing as the Word of God preserved and inspired to this day. This guy from North Dakota, he's got freeze brain. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, hey, you know, whatever. I'm just showing you what this particular Bible says, and it tells you that during that tribulation, you're going to want to take that Christian mark, and the King James Bible apparently is the only Bible that tells you not to do it. Take your choice. It's your call. Here we go. Let's keep going here. Number 27, you will have some of your greatest opportunities to count it all joy, because you're going to find yourself in some serious, diverse temptations. James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means many different kinds. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's exciting. How about number 28? In James again, you'll have the opportunity to earn your crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now remember, that verse is telling people that if you endure temptation, you won't be killed. You'll receive the crown of life. Do we have to worry about that today? Well, no, not like that. Well, how do you know that? Because this is in James, folks. In James chapter 1, verse 1 tells you who that book of James is written to. And I can tell you right now, it ain't written to you, but anyway. How about this in chapter 11 of Hebrews? You'll have an opportunity to prove your own faith, just like all those Old Testament Bible heroes. That's the Hall of Fame for Faith, if I remember correctly, out there. And you read about all these guys in there, but see, you've got to remember that these people had their own faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 tells us that. These people had their own faith that they lived by. These people in Hebrews chapter 11, they got what they got because of their faith. Our faith today gives us the faith of Jesus Christ. So we wouldn't be in that chapter. But during the tribulation, maybe you're going to have such strong faith that you're going to be able to endure all those temptations. And you won't get killed. And you'll be able to maybe be in the new modern Hall of Fame of faith. You never know. How about number 30? Are you tired of being told there's nothing for you to do concerning your salvation? You always got to have something. You want to be baptized. You want to contribute some money. You want to be that good person. All these kind of ways to be involved. Well, congratulations. You will be able to earn your salvation. Won't that just make you just a peachy keen Christian? Now listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. How do you receive that engrafted word? By putting away that bad life, that naughtiness in your life, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, if you're just going to be a listener, you're deceiving yourselves, because in the tribulation, you're going to have to be a doer of the word. Well, good for you. See, you'll really get a chance to boast. Well, see, here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, during the tribulation, you're going to be able to be that anointed, unctionated, understandable Christian. You'll have a mark you can show people, and you will have everything you need to do will involve your salvation. You won't have to rely on God. You can do it yourself. What a joy you think you're going to have. Well, let's go to number 31. Yeah, we're going to get done here pretty quickly this morning. Chance to hear some more music for you. Number 31, you will have opportunities to be made perfect and to be justified in all your own works, proving your faith. The dispensation we have now is a dispensation of grace. We have to be willing to admit the fact we're just not going to live the Christian life like we should. We're going to have to admit to the fact that our flesh just isn't strong enough. You see, during the tribulation, God puts His Spirit upon their flesh. But today, during this dispensation of grace, the time of the Gentiles, the goodness of God, He takes care of everything for us. If we put our faith in Him, He gives us His faith, He gives us His salvation, He imputes to us, He gives to us His righteousness. Everything belongs to Him. Does that sound like a weak, worthless Christian? Well, I'll admit it. I'm glad I lived during the dispensation of grace. I'm glad I didn't live during the Old Testament times. I'm glad I didn't live during the Gospel times. I'm glad I didn't live during the Garden of Eden. I'm glad I don't live during the tribulation. I'm glad I lived during the dispensation of grace. We have enough challenges in this world today. Satan has taken away the Word of God. Satan has destroyed the local churches. Satan has replaced the Word of God with music in people's lives. It's a real time of confusion. Actually, not confusing at all. You just have to have one Bible, one baptism. It's a spiritual baptism, not a water baptism. You just have to ignore the signs and the wonders and the miracles that are out there, because the Bible says they're from Satan and not from God. You have to be careful with these preachers out there, because they could be preachers, they could be ministers of righteousness, and that belongs to the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, check it out. You're following the apostles' doctrine. You're supposed to be following Paul's doctrine. He's the apostle for the uncircumcision, and Peter's the apostle to the circumcision. You've heard me say that 134 times. Anyway, let's finish this thing up this morning here. You will have those opportunities to be made perfect and to be justified in all your own works. You'll be able to prove your faith. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. See, Paul in Hebrews is telling the Jews, you got to get on with this stuff now. We got to put away the doctrines of Christ. We got to go away from all this stuff. And we got to get on to what we need to get going. That's a pretty interesting chapter, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 is also the chapter that tells people that if you take the mark, you've lost your salvation and you can't get it back. So why do pastors put that on people today? Fear and guilt, the severity of God. Hebrews chapter 13 says this in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that's a Jewish phrase, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. There you go. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Work it in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You're going to have to be perfect in your works. That's what it says. Let's check it out again. James chapter 1, verse 4. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's all based on your walk, folks, not by grace. James chapter 2, verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. That's during the tribulation. See? Abraham's works. But now, Abraham in Romans chapter 4 talks about the righteousness of God that was imputed to Abraham. And the same thing is for us. Romans chapter 4, read it. But you're only going to find it in the King James Bible. And lastly, number 32, you will have an opportunity, you'll be there to see the Lord when he comes. Well, I thought the Lord already came. Well, see, when the Antichrist shows up, you're going to think you're seeing the Lord. But it isn't going to take you long to realize that you've been duped. You've been tricked. You've been deceived. You will finally realize that that nutcase in North Dakota, you had your chance to listen to the truth. So when you're done with this tribulation, then yes, you'll get to see the Lord coming, Revelation chapter 19. What a moment that must be. But I have to tell you, I'm sorry to say, for you, it will not be a pretty sight. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Wow. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, that's the Jews again, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now we're in a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. That's real. That is not science fiction. That is not Spielberg movie stuff. That's real. Revelation 19. Here we go. This is when Christ shows up, the real one. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived from them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yes, you'll have an opportunity to see the Lord coming, but like I said, you won't be invited for dinner. You will be dinner. Does that sound like a horrible thing from this God that's supposed to love everybody? Remember, God loved the world. He gave the world an opportunity. He gave him his son. He gave him himself, actually. The word became flesh. He came down and he paid the price himself. And he offers it to you if you just put your faith in him and look at a King James Bible and rightly divide that thing and understand that the risen Savior is talking to you through Paul and through Paul's books. You'll realize you might be having the wrong Jesus in your life. You might be following the wrong preacher. Going to the wrong church. Just about any church is the wrong church today. It's the body of Christ that you want to be part of. That's the church he's talking about. The local assemblies, that's a place to be fed. That's a place to be taught. Are you being taught the truth? Have you been fed the right food? If not, you got till December 23rd to make that decision, at least as far as we're concerned on this program, the Cup of Goodness. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, not the severity. Come on, folks. Ask the Lord to show you the truth. Go get yourself a King James Bible, not a modern one, not an American one. Ask for a King James Bible. Ask for a 1611. They probably won't even have one. The famine is that close. If you want one, I'll send you one. Just let me know your name and address. We'll pay for shipping and the whole spiel. That takes care of the program for today. We will talk to you again in the morning with something new.